Let us begin this service by singing 93, the first, the second, and the first stanza. 93. The trespass of the wicked man most plainly testifies that fear of God's most holy name is not before his eyes. Number 93, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. I'll now read to you first Article 16 of our Confession of Eternal Election. We believe that all the posterity of Adam, being thus fallen into perdition and ruin by the sin of our first parents, God then did manifest himself such as he is, that is to say, merciful and just. Merciful, since he delivers and preserves from this perdition all whom he in his eternal and unchangeable counsel of mere goodness has elected in Christ Jesus our Lord, without any respect to the works. Just in leaving others in the fall and perdition wherein they have involved themselves. This fire. Further, we read to you out of God's holy word, the first book of Moses, Genesis, the fourth chapter, the first part. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord has respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and it be multiplied unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. The Lord of heaven and of earth, it is again in thy long suffering and in thy loving kindness towards us that we are privileged to come in this evening in this house of prayer to call upon thy holy name and to hear thy word expound unto us. The privileges under which we are living are great and manifold. Give an heart to acknowledge thee and to bow before thee. And that it may please thee, Lord, in this last hour of this Sabbath day to come with thy presence and with thy love and with thy spirit in our heart and in our midst. And that the preaching of thy word in this evening, that it be not unfruitful, but that it be in thy divine favor, that sinners be converted, that thy name may be honored and glorified in the coming of thy kingdom and in the establishing of thy work and of thy grace in the hearts of thy children. O Lord, thou speakest and it is, or thou commandest and it stands firm. It is all in thy hand. Lord, remember us and visit us in this evening. that thy word may find an entrance into our soul, and that we may receive lessons out of thy word. Also our coming and rising generation, that they may know the truth that it is in Christ Jesus, and that they love it with their heart, and that they are privileged by the grace of thee to walk in the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Pour out thy spirit in our heart and in our midst. Strengthen all thy servants over the length and over the breadth of the earth, also those who are labor amongst the heathens and that use people, that thy kingdom come, that thy name may be honored and glorified, and that we also receive in this evening light in thy word, and that we explain it after the meaning of thy Holy Spirit, and that we receive a little fruit out of it for our own heart and soul. Lord, it is all in thy hand. Thou art not obliged to give us something, but view us without children and grandchildren in thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And may this evening unforgettable for young and old, for great and small, and that being in thy house, that it was not to a judgment for us, and that it shall never aggravate our punishment, but that it may be to an eternal blessing for all of us. Remember the sick and afflicted, also those who are in the hospital, those who have to go there in this week, also that shelter those parents for surgery. Oh Lord, remember also that child and give it back to his dear parents. Remember us together in the families, in all the needs and wants, in weakness and all infirmities of the body and this temporal life. Lord, look upon us and our families from heaven. Recover if it can please thee, but above all, prepare each and every one to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. Those parents far away from us and from the family who were blessed with another boy in last week, give him an heart to acknowledge thee. And made it further well, Lord, also with the parents and the children, bless the work of their hands in translating thy word for those that never have seen and read the word of God. Strengthen also those that rule over us in state and in city and in country. We commend them all at thy throne in the perilous times in which we are living. Oh Lord, remember us together with the boys in the service and in Vietnam, with all the widows, orphans and widows, and with all the needs which there are for time and for eternity. Forgive our sins and visit us, that our gathering in this evening, that it was in the fear of thy holy name, to the gladness and salvation of our hearts, and also for thy dear children to build up in their most holy faith, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Now we sing together number 243. For our school. Number 243. Should sons of his my Lord forsake, my just commands and statutes break, then though my wrath has sins reproof, my mercy I will not remove. Number 243. beloved congregation, we read in the book Ecclesiastes that there is nothing new under the sun. And what we hear and what we see, what we observe, that have all taken place in the days before. Also, where time and again, even our city, it is heard that people is killed and murdered, and that in such an awful way as it took place in the week that lay behind us. And of course, it is all in our hearts, all those seeds of evil things, and it is only that the Lord protect us and prevent us not to leave us over to ourselves, but that his eyes are open over us, because otherwise, what can we expect of ourselves when the Lord leaves us over to ourselves, even for one minute? We are prone, said one of our question books, prone to all evil. And it is the fruit of our sin and our fall in Adam, as we can see that before our eyes. It was my intention this evening first to talk to you about the family of Cain, and especially over those three boys, but maybe it is better that we do that another time, to give you this evening a little information about the circumstances under which that those boys were growing up and took a place here in this world. For this evening, I will speak to you about Genesis 4, verse 4 and 5. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord has respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance zichzelf. Dus vast. Het toe een right understanding of this text, it is necessary that we first talk to you about a great surprise. And then in the second place, about the offering of Abel and Cain. That those boys came into this world, that was, you would say, natural, but it was a great miracle. It was a great miracle, especially for the parents and for each, because you read in the first of that chapter, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and then the follows, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. But now the first part of that, those texts that speaks about a great surprise, and you would say, why? Because you can realize out of the words of Eve that it was above her expectation. Adam and Eve, they were both comforted. We have in the Word of God the clear proofs that the Lord had glorified His grace in both of their hearts. And especially also in the heart of that Eve. And now you would ask me this evening, in what respect was it now such a miracle that those children were born? Most of the people that would say, that is natural, then we are married, then we can expect that we have children. Because the Lord brought Eve to that Adam to be fruitful and to be multiplied the world. The creation of men that is so much different as the creation of the angels. Because those angels, they were created probably the first day of the creation. And they were created in a full number. Thousands and thousands and thousands were created at that time. And you know the difference between the creation of angels and the creation of men is that amongst those angels there is no blood relationship. Those angels, they are created all as individuals, standing one by another. But of course, that is now so different with the creation of men. Out of one blood, the whole human race is created. If we go back, then finally Adam and Eve, they are our father and our mother. But why was it for that Eve especially such a miracle and such a wonder that those children were born? Because what they have done in paradise, that was laying so heavy upon the soul. Because that Adam and Eve, they brought not themselves in such a misery, but they brought the whole human race in that deep abyss. And I believe sure that they have felt something of it in their heart. Because the Lord brings back in our life all that we have done. It is well with measure, because if it was not with measure, we all came in despair. We could not live further in this world if that full weight of sin came upon us. There was only one in the world upon whom that full weight came, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And sin that was for him so heavy that his sweat that became as great drops of blood. But nevertheless, the Lord pays out in our life what we have done. He brings it back. It would be easy if we could forget it. But that is not so. David, he said, remember not the sins of my youth. And you find the same expression in the book of Job. And all God's people, more or less, they know something of it in their life. And they shall only be delivered of death in the hour of death, where they are shall delivered from all their iniquity. That Eve and that Adam, they have lived together as man and wife. But that they ever would see their own child, they could not expect that. No. Because what they expect in their life, that was nothing else than destruction and then an absolute ruination of the life. Later on, you see that back. I mentioned that only to you this evening in few words. But you see that back, people, in the life of David and Bathsheba. That first child that died. And then when they expect a second child, then they have that same fear in their heart
that when that child came alive here in this world, that it would be taken away by the cold hand of death, that the Lord shall never privilege them to have that child. But then the prophet was sent to that David and the Bathsheba, and he promised them not only that the Lord would spare that child, but that it would be a darling of the Lord and a loved one of the Lord. As you can realize what it was for that David and for that wife. But now, especially here with Adam and Eve, they have not expected to see with their own children. But the Lord had given them that surprise in their life. Because the Lord, he is merciful and he is gracious. Not without Christ, but in Christ. His beloved Son, who is a propitiation for our sins and for the sins of the world, where all God's people is comprehended in it. They have two boys, and of course from that first boy, the firstborn, that each he said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That was a regard to the promise that the Lord has given in Genesis 3 verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Because in that text, the Lord has promised the mediator and the savior of the church. And now out of that promise, that people that have received a hope, and they have received strength out of it. Because the promises of the Lord are never idle and never in vain. When we receive some promise from the Lord, then we can realize in our life that we receive strength out of it. Because all what the Lord speaks and all what the Lord promised to his dear children here on earth, that give him courage and that give him comfort in their heart, even when it is not confirmed and established, but only the receiving of the promise of the Lord that gives us hope and courage to go farther and to go on in our life. The Lord, he comes back to it, but God's people are also privileged to come back to it. That is his own word and his own testimony. But now you read about Cain and Abel, that Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Did you ever realize the meaning of it? Did you ever consider, congregation, what it means when you read that there in the Bible? The difference in the work and in the daily life between the Cain and that Abel. You see that later on in the Word of God also, between Esau and Jacob. They go not together in this world, no. But each and every one goes his way. And now that Abel that was a keeper of sheep came a tiller of the ground. That Cain, I would say he had a farm. That Cain, he was working in the ground. But that Abel, a keeper of sheep, he was always round about living animals. Always. And later on, people, then we shall hear something more of the difference. You see that in the same family, that one of the boys goes that way, and one of the boys that goes another way. Was it not permitted by the Lord that a Cain was a tiller of the ground? Was that against the Bible? And was what that Abel was doing, was it so much better than the work of Cain? That is a question. But of course, we have to realize what there is mentioned in the Bible further about the life. In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. Was Cain an atheist? No. Cain was a religious man. Cain was a man who would serve the Lord. When you had asked that Cain whether that he did believe that the Lord was the creator and the upholder of heaven and of earth, then that Cain had said, yes, I believe that for 100%. And I believe that it is in my way to bring an offering before the Lord from what I have received from him. But of course that man, his offering, what he brought there, that was different as of Abel. Because Cain, he brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. All kind of vegetables, all kind of wheat. But with Abel, that was different. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And what is now the difference? But the difference is, we read in the Bible, after the fall of Adam, that Adam, he said, upon that question that the Lord brought to him, why that he had hidden himself behind those trees in the woods. And then he said, because I am naked. I am naked. was there before that Adam fell in paradise? Was there a store to buy clothes? No. That was unknown in those days. And now at that time, when the Lord visited him, he said, I am naked. And he was always naked. He was always naked to a certain extent. Outwardly, he needed no clothes. And what was now the reason that he did not need clothes? Because he was covered with the image and adored with the image of God. Righteousness, knowledge, righteousness and holiness. Thus he was, in other words, he was covered with the majesty and with the glory of the Lord. Thus in that respect he was not naked. And then of course you know, because we have heard that all the time of our life, now that Adam and Eve, they were naked, and they have ruined the image of God. They would not receive that back at the present time. Not in that respect as they had it before. They would well receive it back in principle by regeneration, but not outwardly. And then the Lord himself, He covered them with the skin of animals. And before that Adam was covered with that skin, then of course there was a certain animal slain there, outside of paradise. And you know that when we kill an animal, that is always accompanied with shedding of blood. And now there is a text in the Bible that said that there is not forgiveness of sin without shedding of blood. And what has taken place there behind paradise, what has taken place there, that refers there to what in the fullness of time would take place on Calvary's cross, where the Lord Jesus would be crucified, and that to satisfy the justice of his Father and to deliver his people, his elect people, from all their sins and from all their iniquities. And now, how can you now realize that Cain was, that Abel was a converted man, that came out in that offer that he brought, because he brought, said the Bible, the firstlings of his flock, the best of the cattle that the Lord had given him, that he killed. And while he was killing those firstlings, then he acknowledged in the first place the greatness of his sins and of his iniquities. And in the second place, the necessity for his own heart and soul of the forgiveness of sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that Abel that offered there before the Lord under different circumstances as Cain had done, and the source whereof that he offered the Lord, that was also different. It was by faith that he had offered the firstling of his blood. By faith, he believed that, not what he brought that, no, that that could satisfy the Lord. But he did well believe in the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he believed in that and in that offer and in that holy sacrifice that is explained in the Word of God in Hebrews 11. You read there in verse 4, but by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Thus, he which by that faith he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts, that he was righteous, that is placed there in the throne. And that is the reason that you read also in that text this evening, but an Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock, and the Lord has respect unto Abel and to his offering. The Bible said not first to his offering and then to Abel, no. But the person Abel that came on the foreground. And why was now that Abel placed on the foreground by the Lord? Why? What was now the reason? What was now the meaning of that? Because with all that we offer and with all that we bring before the Lord, we can never make ourselves acceptable in the sight of the Lord. But we must personally be comprehended in Christ. And who are comprehended in Christ? And in the covenant of grace, only those who are by God the Father chosen and elected in Christ Jesus. And now by virtue of that election in Christ Jesus, now the Lord shall never see sin in Jacob and iniquity in Israel. Because Christ, with his blood and with his righteousness, he covered all his people, and he covered them perfectly, so that we cannot lay any charge to God's elect. They are all sinners, and they remain in sinners as long as they are here in this world. But the Lord view his people in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and that is the fruit of his eternal good pleasure and his sovereign good pleasure, as we sing together now out of number 31, the sixth stanza, defend me from the men of pride, whose portion is below, who with life's treasure satisfied no better portion knows. They with earth's joys and wealth's content must leave them all when life is spent. When I in righteousness at last thy glorious face shall see, when all the weary night is past and I awake with thee to view the glories that abide then, then I shall be satisfied. Number 31, 6 and 7. And now, congregation, you read in the word of God that at Abel, that he brought of the firstlings of his flock. But that was 2,000 years before the Lord on the Mount of Sinai gives the laws of the ceremony, because that happens 2,000 years later. And what is now the connection? That now even there, years and years before, that law was given, that still that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. The only answer is that from the beginning of the world, the Lord by his Spirit instructs his children. And you find in one of the epistles of Paul that Paul declares about God's people that they are in the same manner as well living in the Old as in the New Testament. No difference at all. And that the Lord brings them all to the knowledge of sin, but that the Lord also brings them to the knowledge of Christ and the necessity to believe in him, to rest upon him and his mediatorial work to the gladness and to the salvation of their immortal and ever-dying souls. And now finally this evening, you read also in the Bible that the Lord had no respect to Cain and to his offering. And then Cain is placed in the foreground again. Because outwardly, Cain and Abel, they did the same thing outwardly. They both built an altar. They both brought an offering. They both believed in God. They both offered that offering unto the Lord. And still, you read in the word of God, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect, not respect. No. Because all that Cain did, that was outwardly. His heart was far from. And if now that man, had knowledge of his sin, and that that sin was unbearable for him, then he had need the same thing to offer than Abel. Then he needed also blood. But now that Cain, he had no necessity for blood. That he had no necessity, no need for Christ. That is the explanation. This is evening not so much experimental, but I thought for our young people especially, the first, the coming evening this time, that I will few sermons give to you about Cain and Abel, and that regenerate that generation of that Abel, and how that revealed themselves in the world, bringing that back to the times in which we are living. But of course, we need a certain foundation to build upon, and that is the reason that I have this text this evening. Now I come to the main question and to the important question, and that is this. We are all comprehended in heaven, all of us. There is no difference. You read in the word of God that Adam, he brought a son in the world after his own image. No more after the image of God. And then you read in Psalm 51, who can save and clean out of an unclean? Not the one. And we are all born in sin and conceived in iniquity. All of us, by virtue of the fall of Adam, there is no difference at all. There was, by virtue of the imputation of the sin of Adam, no difference between Cain and Abel. They were the same. But what has happened, people? From all eternity, the Lord make a distinction. From all eternity. They will deny that in our days. And they will take a milder word for the word hated. Because the Lord, he said later on, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Can we change that, those words? No, they have tried to do it. Oh, yes. And that nothing great rapid here. No. But they have tried that years and years ago. And there is some part in the statutes that have found, as they say, another way, a much nicer word. And then they would no more use that word, the word hate. But they have found out something else, and that is it. that the Lord had not so much love for Esau than that he had for Jacob. They said, they used the word less. It was less in regard to Esau, and it was more abundant in respect to Jacob. But of course, all people keep, let us stand by the word of God and by what the Lord has spoken in his holy word, and let us be careful never to change the words. No, let us never do it, because it is clear enough that everybody that can understand, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. But of course, that is the that is not the revealed will of God, that is the secret will of the Lord. And the secret things are for the Lord our God and revealed for us and for our children. And the revealed will of the Lord, that is, as you find in several texts in the Bible, but also in Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he is to be found, and call upon him while he is near. There shall be no excuses for anybody in the world. Never. Never and ever be. Because we are living under the word of God. And not only that, that we are living under the gospel, but there is of something else involved. We have to go back to what has taken place in paradise. And that lays for you and for me personally. We cannot say, I cannot help it that Adam was eaten of that tree. No. We cannot help that. We will say such things. But in the sin of Adam and in the fall of Adam, each and everyone is comprehended. We can never place ourselves outside. And this is a blessed time in our life when we become personal Adam before God. And that is necessary. Shall Christ ever be revealed in our hearts? And the door of grace that is open for Adam's posterity. And the Lord, he calls us and he declares unto us that he had no pleasure in the death of a sinner, but well in his repentance and his conversion and salvation. But now you come to the point. I say this evening in the beginning of my sermon that there was immediately a difference in the life of Cain and of Abel. Abel was a shepherd, and Cain, he was a tiller of the ground. Abel, he desired a quiet life, because what a quiet life is to be a shepherd. In some places in the country, you see no shepherds with some flock. And I cannot well remember when I was a boy, we have also some shepherds with some flocks, and there are people that have an easy life. I cannot well see as little boy as one of those men that came on in our village every afternoon, and then he was walking so slow, that man, so slow. And that was his whole life. His whole life could be nothing for me. But of course, that is something different. Yeah, that is something different. But the Lord had given everyone his place in the world. No. Yeah. But still, the difference here in life already, one goes that way and another that other way. And one is never concerned about his state and condition. And other ones, they lay all the time underneath. And they have never a priority that you think. I have it, I hope it is a true thing. Oh, that midnight sometimes you bow your knees, and that you cry to the Lord, and that you say, oh, please, Lord, look up on me. Oh, Lord, I am created for eternity. Oh, make it this reality for my soul. Drive me as out to thy throne. And then you see there the glorification of the justice and of the righteousness and of the mercy and of the grace of the Lord. And now our Father, they have told us that predestination, that is not an act of justice and not an act of mercy, but that is an act of sovereignty. Of sovereignty. And now the Lord, he looks upon this one, and other ones he passed by. And who shall say to the Lord, what doest thou? Oh, what a blessing to belong to that people, chosen by the Lord. What a blessing to walk in his ways and to be concerned our whole life. And Helen Brook, he said, what are the characteristics of election? Faith, hope, and love. That are the characteristics. And now to reveal that in our life, and to reveal that by day and by night, one time more than the other. What is now our life? What is now the purpose of our life? Where goes our heart to us? To the Lord or to the world, old, young and old? There is no better service in the world than the service of the Lord. Because the Lord, he said in his word in Proverbs 8, who findeth me, findeth life, and obtain mercy from the Lord. The sovereignty of the Lord. And what there is left for us, people, Lord, be merciful to me. That man on the cross, he said, not Lord, that I be one of thy elect? No. But he said, Lord, remember me. Oh, that had to come. If it never was, our prayer by day and by night. And if it is out of our hearts, people, oh, we shall bring the firstlings of the sheep to the Lord and out of his blood. We shall have a need for blood to wash in that blood from all our sins and to adore us with that blood and to place us before the Lord clean and make us whiter than the snow. And then we shall appear before him on the basis of that blood of Christ and on his righteousness, and then to praise and to glorify forever the sovereign love of the Lord, because it is not because there was something in us, but it is all out him and through him and to him that he received all the honor and all the praise and all the glory. But remember, people, leaving the church in this evening, misery, redemption, and gratitude, those three things necessary to know Scripture, experiment, and practice for our hearts and for our souls. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony to our hearts. It was in thy condescending mercy to bring us together in this day three times round about thy word and testimony, which can make us wise unto salvation. Thy hand made it well that we have also this evening that opportunity It could be well so bad with the weather that it was scattered. But Lord, thy mercies are great and manifold. Remember the congregation that offers bearers in the church. Remember the parents with the children. Remember the sick and the afflicted. Look upon each and every one also in the week that lays before us. Strengthen us together in all our labors, that we remember one another, Lord, in thy condescending mercy at thy throne, and that it may please thee to guide and protect us and to instruct us. But the way that we have to go, oh Lord, leave us not over to ourselves, but that we can make a decision to the welfare of both of the congregation and to the peace of our own heart and soul, that we remember one another by day and by night and love one another, and bound in love and unity, seeking the welfare of Zion, that the pardoning of all our sins and all our iniquities, for Christ's sake only, amen. We sing now 275. By the last stanza we are standing up, and then I give the benediction. 275. Though thou, O Lord, our God alone, everlasting is thy throne. And what follows 275, the collection is now for our school, and Wednesday evening shall the school board be come together, the Lord willing.
the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.